I just really feel I think that's what, I mean, I feel such a spiritual drawing in this place tonight. How many of you just feel it? You just feel like it is a place that God has opened up. As I was sitting up there, I just kept on hearing God say, you know, draw to me. Draw to me. Draw to me. So I said, God, how do you want us to do that tonight? And I feel like God said, just start invading this place with my spirit. So I just want us to, if we can, and I know that is completely off of the way that we usually do service, but I just said, all right, God, we're going to dedicate the first 3 minutes that we were going to do to a song. Let's just dedicate the first 3 minutes to praying in the spirit. And if you can't pray in the spirit, then you begin to pray the thoughts of God that he drops into your heart. And I believe that God wants to start this night with a very unique place that he's showing us. Man, it's not like we've been before. We've never walked here before. That when we get to the place where God has said to come, that his presence is already there waiting on us, drawing us in. So if you know how to touch God's heart, if you know, because you know what we could be doing is praying mysteries for Miss Doris and her family, or what we could be doing when you're praying in the spirit, you don't gotta know. You just know that you're walking out in obedience to God, and you're drawing something that is bigger than you. And Father, right now, Lord, we just come and we start this service in a unique way, drawing your presence like we have never drawn it before. Father, we pray right now that your prayers flood this place, that your thoughts flood this service, that your spirit has its way. God, not us. We have to lay down everything that I've written and everything that's been said tonight, God. I pray that it becomes a place where your glory resides, Lord. I just pray right now. So just pray. Pray what God puts in your heart.
Worthy.
so thankful for Him. Oh, are you not so thankful for Him? Because we can live in our order and in our structure and in our way that we want to live. But I'm going to tell you the truth. He's got such a better way. He's got such... How many of you feel it in your spirit? You know that God has strengthened and He has quickened and He has transformed you in some way in those few 3 or 4 minutes. God did something supernatural. And it had no natural connection. I'm going to tell you, God is doing good things in this church. Yes. God is doing good things for His people.
Yes.
And the more we do that, I believe the more that we will really see what this life God has put us here to live is all about.
Hallelujah.
It is all about. It is such a supernatural place to be in. I love the season God's drawing us to. It is such an intimate season. It is such a powerful season. It is such a season of spiritual discernment. It is. It's such a season to where when God says something, we better do it. We don't want to miss what God has for us in that moment. We don't even have to understand. Mom had a dream one time, or God told her one time, that she would move into deep moments of intercession and prayer, and she might not ever know what the answer to that was, but that was God's will. And I'm going to tell you, God's will goes out beyond our will, ever will. God has a plan of protection and guidance, and it comes from our spirit. And it comes from our spirit, and there's just an assurance we can have in that. That is just such a good place to be. I just want to talk tonight. I don't want to scream. I beg that. I just want to talk tonight. I do not want to scream. So if you see me screaming, do like this, and maybe I'll catch that. Because I don't even know I'm doing it. But I want to share my heart tonight. I want to share, this morning I really felt like I was sharing the message. But I want to share what I feel like God has laid on my heart. And the way that God has birthed this in my heart. Does it matter that we grow in this season of the cave, that our eyes are seeing what the Spirit is saying? I want you to stop and think about that. Does it matter that you grow? Does it matter that personally, while you see your leadership, while you see God's house, the church, while you see it moving into a secret place of divine connection, of spiritual eyesight being trained, does it matter that you go there? Because the truth is, it does. It does. I'm going to tell you, the enemy is wicked, but God is so good. The enemy is out to destroy, but I'm going to tell you, God is out to cause that to be just not even a thought in the goodness of how good He wants to be to us in our lives individually. God wants that for you. God wants you to grow. Does it matter if God is calling us to, like the Bible says, to have our senses so trained in the Spirit that we can know between good and evil, not out of what we think, not out of what we naturally see, but out of our spirit man? Does it matter? I'm going to tell you the truth. It really does matter. It really does matter that you grow. Divine appointments come out of spiritual discernment. Divine appointments in your life that God has orchestrated since the beginning, before you were even born, will come out of spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment comes out of spiritual growth. So it does matter to many people. I just want God to set up all these divine appointments. Well, are you in the presence of God, letting Him mature you? Helping you to have a spiritual discernment. See, Saul could not do that. He couldn't do it, and it cost him that spiritual discernment when he was in a holy cave that was a very holy place that he had no idea what that was because there was no spiritual discernment in his life. It cost him his future. And it eventually cost him his life. And it cost him his kids' life. It cost him his son's life. And I'm going to tell you, God will have a season of mercy and grace. But if you refuse from a stubborn, rebellious heart to grow, you will outlast that season. And it is such a good thing for God to do this and work this in our lives. It is such a loving Father. Does it matter that our eyes, that our ears, that our mouth, that our hearing, that our tasting is all in the Spirit and at the level that God is saying, come up to me? Does it matter? Yes. See, when the 400, when they crossed that river, when they dropped the baggage of people that were not wanting to grow, that were not wanting to seek God with all their heart, when they dropped that baggage and they walked across that river, what happened is there was instant divine appointment. There was agreement in the Spirit, and what came out of that in leadership and an army became spiritual divine appointment. There was a man who was sick that told them exactly how to go and where the enemy was, and told him all about the enemy, all the leader, all that was going on. There is divine appointments against the enemy in your life if you will become people who will grow and get into a place of divine spiritual discernment to where you can hear where and what and how God is wanting to send you out and send you through. And the only place that that discernment is refined is in the presence of God alone. Alone why? Alone with Him. Now there can be people all around you in this church, and that can still be the place God has designed for you to be alone with Him. Because I believe that the more of us that are alone with God, the stronger as we become as an army. The stronger we become as one. You know, if you look at 600 out of 400, that is a much larger group that was hearing God than that was not hearing God. But if you look at it in contrast to all of Israel, 400 was a small percentage in that nation. So in this church, does it matter that you grow? Yes, it does. Because if God wants to do what He's saying He wants to do in our church, you are a part of that process. You are a part of that spiritual discernment process. Because if we all are hearing the same thing, we all are moving the same way. If we all are being convicted in the same areas, we all are cleaning up our lives in the same area. That there is such a spiritual place God is drawing us to, and it is collectively. So yes, it matters if you grow. Yes, it matters. It matters for the body, but it matters for you. The Bible says some really hard things about people who refuse to grow. And that's not just Old Testament. I'm going to tell you, get out your New Testament. Jesus was really clear on people that would not strive to enter this narrow gate. It says, and this was the scripture I was going to start with this morning. In Matthew 7:13, it says, enter by the narrow gate. What that's telling you is it will be the way that most people aren't going. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it. Because narrow, this is the reason. It's because it is a narrow way, the gate. And difficult is the way which leads to life. And even more, it says there are few that find it. Because there are few people, even in the body of Christ, that will allow God to mature them to where they have spiritual discernment that says, all right, God, this is the way you're going. And I'm so excited that God is bringing us to a call of spiritual discernment. Because we used to would have said this, well, they have a gift of discernment. I do think there's a gift of discernment. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that God is calling us to be a body of believers, just like the 400 of David's army, that move by the discerning Spirit so that the Spirit can do mighty things in this city. So the Spirit can do mighty things in this place. There is, I believe, a generational blessing God is wanting to pour out in this place, but there's got to get a generational path that is led to God, that is made holy, that He can come in and He can do what He wants to do. And so I'm excited to see what God is doing. Number one, does it convict me? Oh my gosh, yes. It is convicting me in areas of my life that are not purified. It is convicting me in my life in areas where I'm not walking out spiritual discernment. When I'm being agitated and aggravated and irritated and offended and upset, and I'm seeing people as the problem and I'm not seeing the enemy as the problem. Yes, it convicts me, but it challenges me. It should challenge us. It should bring us to a level of discernment to where we see what God is trying to do in our lives. And that is a good thing, because when God starts doing things, things get burned off. Things get burned off. Now, I'm just going to give you a chapter. If you go home and read. If you're wondering, God, am I one of these people that are in the church or that are in this area right now, and I am not being used of you? There's some really good, I mean, every time I read it, God convicts me where I am in those chapters. Every time I read it. 2 Peter 2. Write that one down. Read the whole book of Jude. Go home and read those. Read Revelations. Read what God was saying to all the end time churches. Find yourself of growth in those places. Those are levels of growth, what God is wanting to bring the church. Find yourself. And let God show you what He is wanting to do in you by burning out of you what is not like Him. Let that be one of the first ways, other than God loves you, that He begins to teach you spiritual discernment in your life. Let it be about you. Let it be about you. Let it be about you being that sacrificial lamb. God, open me up. Look in me. Show me what's wicked in me. Show me where I'm not like you. I'm going to tell you, that's the heart of a worshiper. That's the heart of someone whose eyes want to be on God, and you don't want to be distracted by things around you, even if you're that distraction. So, be diligent. Be vigilant. This is what the Bible says. Strive to enter that gate. Strive with all of your heart to live a life that will walk you through narrow places where other people can't walk through. Strive there. Because if you strive there, you will find it. And you will find divine appointments and divine interventions and divine protection on the other side of that gate. That's what God is wanting to walk our lives, I believe, as a church, as a body, as a group of His people into. I don't think we're the only ones, but I'm glad we are one of the ones. I'm glad God did not forget about us. I'm glad He did not have Camden on His heart. I'm glad that He said there are some good men and women there who have not bowed to Baal, who has not let their heart worship other gods. There are some men and women there whose hearts are loyal to Me. And I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to stir them all up. And I'm going to teach them some things they don't know. And I'm going to teach them some old things that they already knew. And I'm going to begin to build on a foundation that was solid rock in the beginning. And I'm excited about that season, if you can't tell. It is a good place to be where God has us right now. Of all the places for God in the Bible to show Himself strong, it's always odd to me where He chooses. But usually, if you look at the reason God showed Himself strong in places in the Bible, you will find a man who was loyal to God with all his heart. It can be the most wicked place in the Bible, but it will say there was a man who loved God with all his heart. It will be sometimes the most demonic places you'll find. But usually, if God decides to move into that place and begins to show Himself strong, it's because somebody has decided they're going to serve God wherever God has put their feet. So that's where you see Daniel. God came into Daniel's life, not when he was in Israel, which I believe that God did come into Daniel's life at that time, but God came into life to show Himself strong when Daniel was in Babylon. When Daniel was in a place that was very wicked, that was very ungodly, man, there were such demonic powers set up in and over. I mean, God gave Daniel dreams and gave the king's dreams about the demonic powers that were in and over that place and at that time and what was going on. But God positioned His people there. And God positioned specifically one man there. And I'm telling you, God has used this story throughout this year in my life in connection with my husband and some things that we've been walking through. I'm going to tell you, it takes one man that is loyal to God. But when you be that one man, what you find out is you're not the only one. God has already positioned people all around you, building and believing and standing. He's really got an army. They're just in a cave. They're just in a cave. So David found himself in that very ungodly place 3 times a day. Loving God above everything else. And I'm going to tell you, I think that's because of where Daniel was. I think Daniel was under such warfare, and I'm going to tell you, the answer to warfare is the cave. The answer to the battle that the enemy has set up against you or that God has walked you into to defeat, it's never going to be in how big you get. It's in the cave that God draws you into that is a cave of wonder. It is a cave of strength. It is a cave of desperation at times, but it's a cave even though in desperation that God brings peace and answers. God brings clarity to you that has nothing to do with this world, but has spiritual discernment in it. And it begins to break down the plans. Now, how many of you, I just want you to stop and think. Close your eyes, because I think that always helps us just kind of block out everybody. So just close your eyes. And I want you to think, God, have you placed me somewhere as a Daniel? Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's even in your ministry. Maybe it's in all, I can't even imagine all the different areas God uniquely intervenes and uses us. Why don't you ask God, have you placed me somewhere as a Daniel? Now raise your hand with everybody's eyes closed, because I don't raise your hand if you feel like God has placed you somewhere as a Daniel. All right, you can put your hands down. I'm just going to let everybody know in here, you are not alone. This is a room filled with Daniels. This is a room filled with people that God has uniquely set in a place, in a time, to allow God's plan to be unfolded. And Daniel found this unique secret. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazed me how unbelievably strong this place is in our battles. It's called the secret place. It's called the secret place. See, Daniel, 3 times a day. Why 3 times a day? I think you got to eat 3 times a day. You got to spend time with God 3 times a day. I've been in warfare like that. How many of you have been in warfare like that? When the enemy is attacking your body so much, even maybe that when you go to eat, you're like, God, it takes you. It takes you. When the warfare is heavy, the time in the cave should become all consuming. It should grow. But because Daniel humbled himself time and time again, in that place, in that cave, even when Daniel was making the cave the most important thing, God lifted Daniel up to the greatest place of honor. See, that's how this works. When you make God your source and your soul begins to be purified and you begin to have spiritual discernment and you begin to see ahead of what the enemy is doing and you begin to see things on a level that God sees them, what happens is that puts you in divine appointment for God to use you to activate His plans, and God will lift you up out of that place if He has to. But when He lifts you up out of it, you know what's going to happen? Because you have attached yourself to His name is going to be lifted up. And He knows that. He knows that. I'm going to tell you, 2 Corinthians 16:9, I believe, is a conviction scripture that each one of us need to keep our eyes aware. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." The whole earth, to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. If you have a heart that is loyal to God, God says He is looking for somebody just like you to show Himself strong in you. If you have a heart that is loyal to God, can I tell you the truth? Almost every day, the enemy gives you an opportunity to compromise that loyalty. Almost every day, you have to deny the world to stay loyal to God. I'm going to say nowadays, but I think even back then, I think the devil's always been the devil. You've got to deny the world. You've got to not compromise at all to stay loyal to God. And that takes most days, daily decisions in our own personal lives, but in our business. And I'm going to say something. If your job is consistently making you work on a church day, on a day that's been dedicated to God, that is your job coming into your life, choosing your loyalty. Now, I do know that people go through seasons, but I'm going to tell you, if that stays a consistent place in your life, you're compromising loyalty. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just a choice to say God's house is first. It's a choice to say God is first. It might not help you climb up that ladder, but it's going to help you get deeper in that cave. And as you get into that cave and your soul prospers, there's divine appointments that God has set up that compromise is keeping you from walking into. God's plans are higher than your plans, but compromise will never walk you into them. Compromise will never. I heard one of the best sermons preached on compromise about a month ago. It's what he said. He said, compromise came onto our nation to where there is now no absolute truth. It says we don't even say there's a girl and a boy anymore. It says we have compromised to where we have compromised confusion all around. It says you have come to a place as a church and a body where we will say this. We will say it's not wrong for them, but it's wrong for me. That's compromise. That's compromise. I see a lot of churches saying, well, that might be wrong for them. That's not wrong. That might not be wrong for them, but that's wrong for me. I'm going to tell you, you've got an absolute truth. Hold it up in your hand. There is no way that God wrote this word out for it not to be an absolute truth to this world. And because we as a nation and we as a church have allowed compromise, this is what he said. It was so good. He said, what you say is okay for other people, but not you. Give it a little bit of time. It'll be in your home. Because you have taken down those walls. You have stopped hating it. And it's evil. And just like Mom preached last week, we are made to hate evil. And if you compromise in how much you hate evil, evil entices you and it draws you in. And in just a little while, what you used to would never have allowed in your home, it's in your home and it's ruling and reigning. And it's such a clear picture to see that in the world nowadays. There is an absolute truth. There is a solid foundation, and it is hard. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to hold it up. It causes you to be tested in the fire almost every day to hold up the absolute truth. Do you know that? In your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriage, in your job, in your church, to hold up absolute truth, I'm going to tell you, it puts you in a fiery furnace most of the time. But if you can be found to be loyal, God will do things in there for you. God will do things in there for you. See, Shadrach and Meshach, they were put in this really weird place because Daniel had created a cave in Babylon. He said, this is going to be a place where, and it says in Daniel that since early, so at the very beginning when Daniel moved into that very ungodly place, he said, this is not like me. And he created an environment to where he could draw to God's presence even in a wicked environment. I'm going to say, if you work in a wicked environment, that is no excuse for you not to be drawing into the presence of God to change that place. To change it. And so he created this place. And what happened was, man, Jesus showed up. Because the wisdom that came out of Daniel still yet we see unfold. The discernment that came into Daniel's life came in such a way because Daniel was loyal to God. Daniel was loyal to God. Daniel let God teach him discernment in a way that, man, that should challenge us. That should convict us. But then we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came into this place with Daniel. Because see, when you start creating godly caves, godly people are drawn to you. When you start creating, remember John the Baptist, he said, this is a holy place. He moved into a wilderness. He began to tap into something that God was saying, and people came, and Jesus came. You won't be in that cave lonely for very long. If you start accessing a spiritual word, a spiritual anointing, a spiritual place that God is drawing you to himself, it won't be a lonely place ever, but it won't be just you for very long. Godly people are drawn to people like you. Godly people feel the Spirit drawing them to a place where His Spirit is being lifted up, where His name is being glorified. So then there came a level of compromise in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. And I love their answer. We know the compromise. We know what he said. But I love their answer. You got to hear their answer, because I'm going to tell you, their answer is not an answer of, oh, my God will save me. Their answer is an answer is, my God is loyal. My God is good. And I love him. And no matter if I have to go down to the grave today, I'm going to go down being sad. I loved my God. And that matters to a cave dweller. It matters what he thinks of you. So here's what it said. I'm coming back. I'm not screaming. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. So this is what happens when compromise comes into your life. Your answer needs to be, there's not even an answer. I know which side I'm on. Are you going to go here with me? There's no need even for me to answer that. I know whose side I'm on. Are you going to allow that in your kids' life? Are you going to allow that in your time? Are you going to give up what you've given to God? Are you going to allow that to be a way that you respond to people? Your answer needs to be, I know my answer. I stand with God. There is an absolute truth, and it teaches me how to live, and it teaches me where to go, and it corrects me in my life. So in this case, it says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if you're making this be about compromise, if you're making this be a situation where it's got to be God or the world, God or the world, you need to get that in your mind. Most questions are a decision, even if you don't even know you're making a decision between God and the world. And I'm going to tell you, the world don't have anything to offer you that's good. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. It's not if God is powerful. It's not if God is mighty. But I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of times the hard love that we walk through, it's God's will goes beyond our will. Would we want to walk through some of the things that we walk through? No. But I'm going to tell you, God always has a better plan. Jesus walking to that cross, did he want to do that? No. But that was a better plan. And if your life is going to walk in the level of discernment that God is calling each one of us to walk into, where there's no compromise, there's got to be such a loyal heart to God. Not a loyal heart to you, because really a loyal heart to me says, God will always defeat my enemies. God will always triumph over. God will always do this for me. And that realistically is a loyal heart to you. But a loyal heart to God is what we see in men who were tried in such a level in their life that comes out of their mouth. Because I'm going to tell you, Paul ran to that cross, and that cross was not a very pleasant place to be, but it was something that he willingly stepped. How many apostles died a martyr's death? And the reason they did was because they had a loyal heart to God that this earth and this world could not rip out of them. And it tried. I love the loyalty that men and women in the Bible showed us as an example to reach for. And then we want to complain, well, people are talking about me. I've done it. People don't like me. Well, if people have put you in a position to compromise between God and them, there should be no question. Because there's no question when you need healing. There's no question when you need something from God. But I'm going to tell you the truth. God looks for people to show himself strong on those who are loyal to him. It says, but if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship, give any attention at all in any way to the image which you have set up before us. The compromise brings you to a level in your life almost every day where you have to decide what you're going to worship, what you're going to focus on. And I'm going to tell you, church, God is calling us to the deepest level of focus in my life. I know not in everybody's life that I've ever walked in. And what that means is God is calling us to a deeper level of worship than we've ever experienced. And that is such a good place for us to walk in and for us to let God bring us into, because in that place, your thoughts change. In that place, your desires change. In that place, your life changes. Your expectations change. Your goals change. And let me tell you what else happens in that place. When you say, I will not compromise, I will not be unloyal to my God, even if it shames me, even if it embarrasses me, even if it makes me a spectacle, no matter what it does, I'm going to be found loyal to God. When you get put as a spectacle, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in front of all of Babylon, when you get into a cave, who comes? Who? Who? Jesus comes in that cave with you. And what people really see is who Jesus hangs out with. They really see who Jesus' best friends are. They really see who Jesus spends his time with. And what you think has been hidden in the back has been this secret place that nobody knew what you had been doing. Nobody knew where your time had been spent. Nobody knew the stands you were making. When God gets ready to show up in that place and the enemy brings it to a place of a spectacle, Jesus shows up and he shows his loyalty to you. There is a good place in our life to be loyal to God, because God is a loyal, good Father. God is a loyal, good Father. So I'm going to end. I want to ask you some questions. Why do you walk different? Why are we going to walk different, church? Why are we going to maneuver different? Because we're cave dwellers. That's what our hearts long for. Why do we spend our time in this way? Why are we not out shopping? Why are we not out planning? Why are we not out living it up in the world? Why are we not? Because God's called us to be cave dwellers. He's called us to be people that abide in the secret place. Why don't you hang out with people like you used to? Why have you drawn a line of no compromise in the level of relationships and where you walk and what you do? Why? Because you're a cave dweller. Because you've decided where your strength is going to come from. You've decided where your loyalty is going to be found. Why don't you talk? This is my favorite. Why do you talk about God day and night? Charles, why do you talk about God day and night? Because you're a cave dweller, and when you get in that cave, you know what you find out? He is wonderful! He is majestic! He is mighty! He is something worth in this world talking about! He is worth it! So I want to ask you, we've got 4 minutes left in this service. You want to be cave dwellers? You want to be cave dwellers? We want to spend the rest of our service time here cave dwelling with God, wasting ourselves on God. Chance, can you start that for me? I'm going to tell you, I'm determined to build caves. I'm determined to build caves. I'm determined to build awkward moments in every environment where you get to press in, to where what God is wanting to do gives you the option to overpass anything you've ever expected and that you wanted out of your life. You're going to have the opportunity to press in. You're going to have the opportunity to get into caves in this church every time you step through this door. You're going to have the opportunity. And if you choose to not, it's a choice. But if you choose to, if you choose to, everybody in this room, close your eyes, because I want to read over you. I want to read over you what the secret place develops in your life. Because nothing else can match it. Nothing else can compare to it. Can you turn that up just a little bit more? I can probably holler a lot louder than that. Can do. If you choose to be a person, I know it's a Sunday night, but why not waste your Sunday night in the presence of God, seeking His face because He's calling you? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Close your eyes and say this to Him. Say, Lord, I will say of You, Lord, You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. And in You alone I trust. Surely, surely You're going to deliver me from everything that the enemy tries to bring my way, because You've given me spiritual discernment in this cave. I'm going to outmaneuver and outwalk and outtrample the enemy in every area of my life, because You are preparing me in this cave season. You will cover me, God. Say, God, You're going to cover me with Your feathers. And under Your wings, I'm going to find refuge. Refuge in my marriage. Refuge in my home. Refuge with my children. Refuge in my job. Your truth. Your absolute truth. Your a shield to me. It'll be a buckler to me. It'll be a small shield and a big shield. It'll be something that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. I will not be afraid in your presence. Lord, we right now, we bind all fear that has tried to gain authority in your children's life. I thank you, Lord, that fear is of the enemy. That the fear is the tactic and the plans to keep your children in bondage. But I thank you, Father, right now for supernatural, spiritual, godly love poured into our life that casts out. Say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out all fear. And I thank you that your love strengthens me and my inner man. And there is a bloodline drawn above my life. There's a bloodline drawn above my family. There's a bloodline drawn above my spiritual family. I thank you, Jesus, where your blood is applied, Satan cannot enter. There is safety. There is refuge. There is protection, God. Today, as we rest under your wings in the secret place you are drawing us to, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a great and a mighty God, and you are looking at our lives, and you are choosing. You are making a decision that because that we have set our eyes upon you, you are delivering us. You are setting us on high because we in the spirit looks like in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, I'm going to tell you, everywhere you move, you need to move into a cave in that place. Every place your feet treads, you need to tread into a cave of wonder, knowing that God has divinely appointed that to be a place that His Spirit lives, and there is a place of refuge and safety in every environment that you're involved in. Lord, I thank you that you are strengthening our body and that you are maturing us. And I thank you, Father, for spiritual discernment. I want you to say that. Say, I want spiritual discernment. No matter what it takes, I thank you, Father, have your way in my life and give me eyes that see and ears that hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love giving Him time. I love declaring His Word. I'm telling you, He's worthy of all of our praise. Let's just end tonight. Let's just end tonight praising God. Can we just do that? Something you've never done before. Just, well, whatever. I hate when Dad says that, but I'm going to tell you, I have never, ever turned around on stage before. So I'm just going to, I'm going to do something for God I've never done before. I've never jumped and danced in the way I feel like God is telling me to worship Him. So before you walk out of this building, you make a decision. I'm going to do something for God, even if it's skipping, even if it's hopping. You do something for God you've never done before.